and welcome to the Nurses for Healthy Environments podcast. I am Beth Shank, long-term host of the podcast, and our episode host this month is Millie Elia, who has a fascinating discussion with Ashley Smith. They discuss the far-reaching ramifications of the repeal of the endangerment finding that helped protect human health from greenhouse gas pollution and ensuing climate impacts. They discuss how nurses' powerful voices can make a difference. Enjoy.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us today and on the Annie podcast. My name is Milagros Elia. Everyone calls me Millie. I am the program manager of climate and clean energy advocacy here at Annie, and I am thrilled to introduce you to our guest, Ashley Smith. Ashley, can you please tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, good afternoon. Thank you so much for having me on, Millie, and it's nice to be with the Annie crew. My name is Ashley Smith. I am a public health nurse located in Los Angeles, California. I am a public health nursing faculty for a private nursing college here. And I'm also a, hopefully soon to be done, a DNP population health student with the University of Wisconsin-Madison.
Wonderful. You have quite a lot on your plate and you're handling it really well. How did you get interested in environmental health, climate and health, or even in the bigger frame of things, planetary health?
Yeah, that's a great question. Sometimes I ask myself that as well, because it is kind of a niche conversation. Growing up in a small town northeast of Los Angeles, I have a unique perspective of this suburban, urban, rural kind of lifestyle. Everybody thinks of Southern California and you immediately think of Santa Monica and Malibu. But I grew up in the mountain areas, and because of the area I grew up in so small, you really have to take care of your environment. You're responsible for where you live. And I just naturally took an interest in environmental health. And as I've grown as a nurse, I've become fascinated with planetary health and where nurses belong in that space. As far as my background, I am a public health nurse first. It's truly my identity, really shapes everything that I do. I began originally in community-based settings, and that's really where I've seen where health is directly impacted by our environment, as well as the status of our planet. So,
yes. You paint that story of how you got to this point beautifully. Now, bridge me to over to Annie and tell me a little bit about your involvement with Annie. How did you find us? What have you done with us? And what are you doing now with us?
Yeah, so I can thank the University of Wisconsin-Madison for introducing me to you all. I was considered for Annie initially after a conversation I had with one of our faculty members who's deeply involved with the planetary health work in our nursing space, Dr. Jessica LeClaire. And after some very deep conversations, it was asked if I would be interested in precepting with Annie. And it seems to have been a really nice fit since we've become such great colleagues over the last few years. I actually didn't know that Annie existed before my DNP project. And so having a space where we have a very nice thumbprint and where you feel safe talking about some of these topics that normally don't exist in the nursing space has been inspiring to say the least.
Thank you for that. And certainly you've been such an integral part of our efforts at this point. We've claimed you as a team member, whether you like it or not.
I agree.
Now, one of the foremost issues of the last couple of weeks has really been the EPA's repeal of the endangerment finding. Now, it's sort of like asking you to put this very big, broad topic into a nutshell, but just starting with summarizing very briefly what the endangerment finding is. Can you then lead us into why this is a nursing issue?
I think, yes, this is a wonderful topic to be talking about right now. As a faculty member who teaches public health nursing, I've been on a soapbox the past couple of weeks. We all knew that this was going to happen. I think the manner of how it happened and when it was ha going to happen, I don't think we were all surprised. I think we were just kind of anticipating it. But now that it's here, it's still solemn. For those of us that aren't too involved with what the endangerment finding is, the endangerment finding was issued in 2009 initially under the Clean Air Act. And what that did is it determined that greenhouse gases threaten public health and welfare. So it explicitly defined that. It was a scientific finding, and it became the legal foundation for regulating vehicle emissions. Not just vehicle emissions, but many other things. But that's kind of the standing point there. Why that matters in nursing. So I can speak to my experience here in Los Angeles. It matters to us profoundly. So transportation is one of the largest contributors to greenhouse gases and smog-forming pollutants here. LA County, we consistently rank among the worst in the country for ozone pollution. We all know that as nurses, ozone does exacerbate asthma and particulate matter even more so increases cardiovascular risk. Here in LA, we worry about wildfires, and we know that wildfire smoke also increases emergency visits and respiratory and cardiac issues. So when this legal framework that supports greenhouse gas regulation is weakened, it also weakens and slows emission reductions. So we can potentially see, and we're expecting to see, right, these reductions that can cause more cumulative warming of the planet. And we know that more warming can increase heat extremes. We know that it can increase wildfire intensity, especially here in Southern California. And as nurses here, we see heat stroke. We see a lot of dehydration in our older adults, especially during our extreme heat events. We can also see more asthma exacerbations during poor air quality days. And so this really makes the whole circle of environmental regulation really inseparable from our clinical practice. These policy decisions, if we want to use a public health nursing term, right, is it's upstream and it's upstream physiology. So where we're taking into consideration these clinical impacts that we see directly related to our environment.
Thank you so much. And if I could just expand on that, can you tell us who are some of the most vulnerable populations that nurses should really be looking at when, in the context of the endangerment finding, in their communities? Who are the patients that are most likely to be impacted?
Yeah, so I mean, if we think about our community settings, and we think about where, health is being structured. So if we think about where our community members are living, we can look at individuals. And when we talk about highest risk or vulnerable populations, I like to think of our the most at risk or the most vulnerable, those that are living in lower housing quality, those that are living near transportation corridors, like where I live on the I-5. Those that don't have solid employment or employment that are in warehouses or in areas that use a lot of diesel vehicles, they use a lot of heavy machinery. We can also see these areas, where there's a lot of environmental exposure. So individuals where not only are they being exposed by work, but Here we have farmland, and so our food systems and how those are also being treated can be impacted. We look at a lot of families that live in these like high transportation areas, especially. Unfortunately, in Los Angeles, a lot of our schools, when they were initially built in the 50s and 60s, are near our main freeway areas. So a lot of children are directly impacted by freeway emissions, so vehicles and trucks moving up and down the freeways. So we see a lot of kiddos with high asthma rates in those areas. And we also see a lot of families managing, chronic disease in our lower socioeconomic neighborhoods, especially those that have limited green space. And we also know that there's a lot of asphalt in this area, especially in our big cities. So they're more at risk for high heat burden. So on those really extreme heat days, instead of it just being 110, what we call the wet globe temperature, it would be closer to 130, 135 on the asphalt. So anybody is at risk, to be completely transparent.
This is very much an environmental justice issue. I mean, when you're talking about these low income, lesser green space areas, that definitely puts those populations at higher risk.
Yeah, I mean, and if you think about the, development of cities, or as we look at phases of gentrification, taking away asphalt typically isn't a part of that conversation. So taking away a parking lot or taking away a building and building a park is, kind of an afterthought. So, but that could be something that could make a big impact in some of these neighborhoods.
Thank you for that. What motivates you for this work? What how do you stay motivated?
Motivation. I think for me, as a faculty member, my students are truly my anchor. When I think about the future of nursing, and I think about the future of nursing practice, what really motivates me to stay on top of what's happening in our world and to stay ahead of the game so we can improve nursing practice. I really think back to our students, and I think back to who's going to care for me as I get older, who's going to care for my family in the event that we need help. So, I've seen students, move from just memorizing pathophysiology to really, when they get to me towards the end of their program, asking, how, freeway placement can, really affect pediatric asthma rates. And for me, that's a really powerful shift, seeing, just not the connection of asthma, but really how the environment impacts them. And so, to stay motivated in all of this, it's overwhelming. There's a lot of evidence, there's a lot of science, there's a lot changing every day. But here, just seeing people being so impacted directly by heat. Since we know heat is the leading weather-related cause of death in the United States, we know air pollution contributes to cardiovascular and respiratory disease. And I, for me, as a public health nurse, this is preventable. So, it's not to be naive and it's not to be, overly optimistic, but if we can be deliberate in how we engage with our data, if we are really disciplined in this collaboration, like what I'm doing with Annie. We can help kind of sustain nursing, not just as a bedside discipline, but as a really a truly like global perspective where we're looking at our environment as direct impacts to what we see at bedside.
I love that. I love that because the greenhouse gas emissions don't respect borders. They don't.
Everyone seems to think that it's just their bubble. If we just fix it in California, it's going to fix everything. So,
It is a mindset shift to think, go from thinking of the self to the other and looking more globally, thinking globally. I love that the youth is really because this can weigh you down, this kind of work but the youth that you're teaching are really in grasping this. None of this was discussed at all back in the time of the dinosaurs when I went to school. So to hear that these things are topics of discussion in the classroom is inspiring me. And so thank you so much for leading the way and showing what is possible.
Join our forums and committees to connect with fellow nurses who are leading the way on health and the environment. These are to share knowledge, collaborate on solutions, and amplify your voice in this important work. Learn more and sign up at environ.org.
Now, what would you like to say to the nursing profession as a whole about environmental health advocacy? Students, seasoned workers, like all of us. What do you want to say to us?
I mean, there's so much to say, right? Especially as nurses, and when we're still fresh out of a pandemic, we're still, kind of nursing our wounds, trying to steady our feet in our place when it comes to the healthcare system. What I like to talk, especially with my faculty, fellow faculty that teach like med-surg, is that, we claim holistic care. So, this idea of holistic care, and we talk about the whole person and we discuss social determinants of health, it becomes buzzwords after a while. It just becomes a check mark that you use in a syllabus. It becomes a check mark of, oh yeah, no, we're covering that. It's a standard, it's a requirement, so we're doing it. I am happy to see that some of our regulatory bodies are including environmental health and planetary health discussions and what we look at for a code of ethics, especially from ANA. But I really think we need to move beyond this idea that environmental health advocacy is niche, because it's not. It's really truly aligned with everything that we view as nursing, and it's really truly aligned with our ethical obligations to protect our most vulnerable populations. So, nurses were the largest healthcare workforce in the country, and when we're silent about it, then that carries, right? That carries the consequence. So, I think we need to be not extreme, right? I'm not asking for advocacy to be extreme. But we do need to be more literate about what this means, what environmental health means in nursing. We need to have some more clarity what that requires of us professionally. And we also need to have this willingness to connect policy and physiology together. So when I talk about heat-related illness, everybody goes heat stroke. They don't necessarily also think about what's causing that, right? So they're not talking about the area that that person's living in where there's no green space, right? Where they're, more directly impacted by heat than others. So those conversations, I think, will get better with time. And I'm hoping with in nursing education, if we continue that conversation and make it more normalized, then we won't have to, wonder how we advocate for it.
Sounds like you're saying that nursing has a valuable position in connecting the dots from clinical knowledge to policy to the patients and community members. Is that what you're saying, Ashley? Because that's what is it sounding like. We have a place at the table and we need to use our voices.
We absolutely do. And I think we need to be comfortable in that space. It can be uncomfortable sitting at a table, especially if you're sitting in front of staffers from your congressman's office, assembly members, your senators, because you feel like an imposter. You feel like you don't belong there. We're not, most nurses don't wear suits. We wear scrubs. And so when you're in an environment that you don't necessarily feel welcome, it can just feel not right. So
Can be
I think
intimidating. It can
a
be
hundred
intimidating.
percent. And I think, when we talk about advocacy, Annie, to be honest, has really shown me the way and being comfortable with that. So just showing up for these hell days, starting these small conversations, starting the conversations virtually. You don't necessarily have to do them in person, but really kind of understanding where your place is, right? And where our voice is often the voice of our patients. We're the storytellers. And so if we're not telling the story, if we are remaining silent, then it remains silent and nobody knows about it. So we have to be able to connect these dots. So what we're seeing at bedside, and you may not be able to connect the dots yourself, but you can work with nurses like us, who can help you connect those dots, and then we can continue this conversation in a more holistic way.
Excellent point. And so that actually, you basically answered my next question about how can nurses get involved. So you would recommend them maybe joining organizations like Annie and finding their place.
Yeah, I mean, for always joining professional organizations. Nurse, I think we're social creatures just in general as nurses. So, being able to sit in the same space and have these conversations and purviews that maybe you don't or didn't have before. Participating in these policy days and Hill days, also just writing to representatives. I have a lot of colleagues that they don't necessarily feel comfortable verbalizing, but they have no problem writing to the representatives, and that alone is powerful in itself. So yeah, I think if we as nurses think about it and we think about our assessment, if we start at education and we understand how environmental exposures affect our patient population, then we can start incorporating some of these more risk analysis, right? So we can do like an environmental risk assessment. We can start preparing. So instead of preparing for flu season, we can prepare for heat waves. We can prepare for more potential exacerbations of respiratory disease due to, or respiratory illness due to wildfire smoke events, right? We can start being more comfortable in discharge education that includes that information. So it's not just engaging at an organizational level, but it's also learning how to advocate and pulling in some of these more sustainable initiatives so that we can, I guess you would call it more resilience planning.
Sort of
Yeah.
an antici incorporate more of an anticipatory response in our dialogues with our patients, in our advisement of them, depending on what's happening in their region of the country, and really incorporating that into the nursing care plan. Brilliant. Now, we're running a little bit out of time, so I just wanted to ask you. I could talk to you forever and a day about this. Is there anything else you would like to add while in the final few moments that we have?
I think, just as a nurse who kind of struggled with their identity for quite a while, and I've really found a home in population health. I've found a home diving more into how the environment truly shapes disease patterns. Nursing, if we go all the way back to Florence, right? We go all the way back to our roots. The nursing practice in itself has evolved through infectious disease. It's evolved through industrialization. It's evolved. And so, as our globe, as our environment evolves, right? So, whether that's climate or environmental change, we are really truly defining the next chapter. We're defining how public health and nursing truly are symbiotic, they're not separate from each other. Our profession has numbers. We are a trusted profession. We're in direct close proximity to all of our communities. For me, it's not a question of whether or not, this affects nursing. The question is really, truly, are we ready to lead? And are we ready to lead in a way that we're not just simply responding? So I challenge everybody, if you haven't thought about environmental health or how planetary health can impact your clinical practice, have some tough discussions, have some think about it, chew on it a little bit, and see if you can make the world ideal, right? If you can make the environment ideal, what would that prevent?
Oh my goodness. Thank you so much for that that wonderful last words. And it almost sounds like a call to action, like you're asking nurses to really look at the now and think about the future and have a begin to develop that response. Thank you so much, Ashley Smith, for your time and your dedication and for sharing this information. What I would like to do is circle back to the comment you made about the value of storytelling and telling our stories. And as it happens, Annie is participating with a storytelling campaign on the endangerment findings. Finding as nurses, we know, as you said, that rolling back these protections will lead to more respiratory illnesses, heat-related emergency, and just a widening of health disparities. So we are looking for nurses who are willing to donate a 30-second, submit a 30-second video, a quote, really highlighting your personal story, your professional, deep professional knowledge on why climate change is an existential threat to public health, and how nurses understand that connection between climate and health as being clear and urgent. I'm going to go ahead and link our submission link in the show notes. I urge everyone to please take 30 seconds to contribute your voice to this important topic. Thank you.
Thank you to Millie and Ashley. It was great to hear Ashley's perspective and commitment and her thoughts on why and how nurses can be involved in environmental and planetary health. And thank you all for listening to the Nurses for Healthy Environments podcast, which is 100% non-commercial. Please share with your nursing colleagues, family, and friends. Thank you. Talk to you next time.